Today's show, will Michigan get a ruling on Connor Stallions? Mac Brown claps back. Alabama-Auburn recruiting fights. The top 25 players of the century. And a boneless wing ruling in Ohio.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I interviewed him a couple times in the NFL and I was scared.
Russ Dellinger.
They just kind of like fly off the exit ramp throwing out grenades.
And SI's Pat Forty.
You don't really have aspiring Supreme Court justice written on you.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. We've got reports. The Wolverine on three site covers the University of Michigan. It's reporting the NCAA is prepared to issue Michigan with a notice of allegations as soon as, quote, this week, maybe tomorrow, end quote. I think tomorrow has already passed, but soon, maybe this week, maybe not. I think we should expect something before the season, which I think would make a lot of sense. The NOA would be related to the sign-stealing scandal that hit the program during 2023 season. Former Michigan staffer Connor Stallions is expected to receive level one violations for his role in arranging off-campus and in-person scouting. Another staff member, meanwhile, is expected to be hit with violations related to dinner and a ride for student athletes. At least two other former coaches are expected to be accused of level two violations related to paying for dinner for athletes. Connor Stallions expected to be facing charges of failure to cooperate. No current Michigan staffers are facing allegations of violations. However, one current coach allegedly deleted text messages between himself and Stallions, though it's unclear if that will be part of the NOA from the NCAA. Content Stallions. That's what I'm calling them now.
Yeah, as you should.
Netflix Stallions.
Huh? Netflix Stallions. Sign Stealer coming out. Pat, what do you make of this latest bit? I'm a little confused. Well, I guess he's going to receive level one violations. Okay, yeah. There was some stuff about, like, they were already pinpointing what the penalties would be. That's not how notice of allegations work, as I recall it. This is more like you're charged with murder. We don't say you're going to the death chair.
Yeah.
It seemed like the reporting got a little ahead of itself and a lot of Michigan fans freaked out. But your thoughts on this?
Yeah, there's so many common misconceptions about NCAA investigations, and that is one of them. You're charged. You're not penalized at this stage. So this would be the NCAA says, we think you did X, Y, and Z, and then it's your turn as a school and Content Stallions as a person and anybody else who's charged to come back and say, oh, no, we didn't do X, Y, and Z. This is our reasoning. And then the NCAA comes back again, and then they sit a hearing date, and then you find out after the hearing whether there's actually penalties. So there's still a long way to go after that step. But from what you just described there, Dan, this sounds to me like we have a classic, he was operating alone. Nobody knew anything about what Content Stallions was up to, except for maybe the coach who deleted some text messages. So I would like to hear more about that.
A little fishy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what happened here, from what Dan and I kind of understand as we were looking at this Monday, even before the Wolverine came out, there was a little buzz that Michigan would get the NOA this week, and we started digging around. I think what's happened is certain Michigan folks have seen a draft of the NOA, which seems to happen. And the thing is the problem, right, with reporting some of this stuff outside of what you guys have said about the penalties, you know, the penalties aren't in there. There's just an assumption being made of what the penalties could be, which is fairly dangerous. But the other issue is the draft of the NOA could change until they get the NOA. And I don't know that that's actually coming this week. I know that they reported it would. I'm not so sure that the actual NOA is coming down this week. I guess it might, but I think there's a little back and forth, it sounds like, going on. And so I think that the draft is just a draft. So we'll have to wait till they actually get it to see what the charges are. Obviously, there's going to be you know, some level one charges in there. I'm sure there's going to be a show cause for a certain sign stealer. And then, you know, the deleted text message thing, I mean, some of this other stuff that's in there, which is a lot of impermissible messages to recruits and whatever else to recruits, somewhat minor now. You kind of roll your eyes at it, right? Because, I mean, we're in about the, you know, we're a year away from schools directly paying players. But that's what happens when NCAA investigates, as both of you know, more than me, is that when the NCAA opens up an investigation, they kind of find everything. They kind of look at everything and they end up grabbing this and that that's outside of the scope of the original topic of the investigation. But the key to me is what Dan mentioned of someone deleting text messages. Who is the person? How many text messages are they alleged to have deleted? And what are these text messages about, right? Are they about the Stallions thing? Allegedly they are. Because that obviously could be a pretty significant, would lead to a pretty significant penalty, you would think, there for the coach and potentially the program as a whole.
Yeah, so like, just, yeah, I think the reporting and speculation got over the top. Whatever's going to come, and I do expect something before the season, I think it would behoove the NCAA to get this going. This is an arraignment, if in legal terms. You don't just step up and they go, okay, like I said, you're going directly to the death row. It's like you have to say you're accused of murder, and, you know, then you stand trial. But even during the trial, it could get dropped down to murder two or manslaughter, or who knows, right? The many fans that are quite eager to hear the NCAA come out and just say, Michigan did it, you're banned from the playoff this year. I wouldn't get too excited about that. If I was a Michigan fan, though, I wouldn't get too excited either, because the deleted text messages is interesting. Now, again, what does that mean? I don't know. But this entire time, the number one question everyone has had is, who knew? Connor Stallions, the story Connor Stallions has put out there and the story that Michigan has put out there is they had this guy. He's from he went to the Naval Academy. He's a Marine captain. He poured himself in. He's a very smart guy. He's a very analytical guy. And he poured himself into figuring out other teams' signs. And they looked at it like, we have this secret weapon. I said on a recent show, like, the sign stealing, it's not simple, but these are not nuclear codes you're trying to crack. It's a very simple sign that has to be relayed in an instant that is understandable by 11 guys on a field, many of whom are just dragging themselves up from the ground, right? So if you have a smart person, it's not that hard to figure out all the signs. This isn't Wind Talkers or whatever that was, right? I'm not saying So if Michigan's defense was, well, look, we got this Navy, the Naval guy, and he's great at it. We didn't know that he was allegedly sending out his friends all over the country to film the sidelines and get an advantage on how he was nailing all the signs, right? And that's really the issue. It's not the stealing of the signs. It's the advanced scouting. You can watch TV and figure it out. You can stand there on the sideline of a stadium and figure it out in real time. You can have your friend who played the team the week before send you the signs they stole. All that is permissible. You can't send someone to another stadium, hold a cell phone camera up and film it and then send the stuff back and do it. That's basically what the thing is. That's what Connor Stallions is accused of doing. And I think we're all going to, it would be shocking if that is not proven to be the case. I assume that will be not really even contested by anybody. But who knew? So if it's just Connor Stallions on his own and it behooves Connor Stallions to keep this a secret because it makes him look better to his bosses, like, the narrative made sense to me, even though I'm skeptical that nobody knew. Now, did people not want to know? Did Jim Harbaugh not want to know? Did the coordinators, that, like, who, was anybody else there who's like, ah, interesting, this is a little sketch, but I don't want to know. Was it that, or was it, did they know? So now you have deleted text messages. Does this coach delete all his text messages? Did he only delete the Connor Stallions? Like, that's, those are the questions I want to know. Who is this person? I don't even know if it said it was a coach. Like, who in the program was deleting? That is, that would make me a little nervous if I was a Michigan fan.
Absolutely. That's the would be, could be the smoking gun that leads you up the ladder and turns this from, look at this whack job we had who's, you know, thought he was going to help Michigan by himself be this hero, to, okay, this is actually, there is some level of at least knowledge, if not organization and complicity throughout the staff. And I personally never believed that Connor Stallions kept all this to himself. And I thought that probably there were staffers that at the very least knew, and if they weren't aiding and abetting. So, I mean, I think with NCAA rules here, you can presume some culpability as opposed to proving it here with an assistant coach, and say, especially if you deleted it, you failed to cooperate with the investigation. How much of that splashes back on the institution as opposed to that individual coach, don't know. And it's probably important to point out that we're not dealing with the vaunted IARP anymore, which, say, in the Memphis case, had Mike Miller wipe his entire laptop clean but didn't penalize him for it. Yeah. Well, in the IARP greatest hits, that's kind of a small one, but they did that. They did that. It's
very common to just wipe your laptop clean, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Do it all the time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't? Yeah, who doesn't, right, in college athletics? Because it's all purely innocent. Anyway, so yeah, this is a committee on infractions case, and I would think they might view that with a little more skepticism than the former body that did this stuff. So that's the significant part of this. Who is it? What were the texts about? To your point, Dan, yes, were they wiping all their texts, or was it just Connor Stallion's texts? And where does that go? And that might tell us how much hot water Michigan could be in.
Well, what is the saying goes that the cover up, right, is worse than the crime. And we saw some of that with Jim Harbaugh and the Hamburger Gate lying and all that stuff. I don't know what else to call it. Cheeseburger Gate or something, whatever it was.
I'm not sure there was cheese. I'm not sure cheese was involved.
No cheese.
I don't know. We have to check the details of this NOA on that one.
Yeah.
Pickles, was there cheese?
Mayonnaise, mustard.
Was it cheddar?
Ketchup? Yeah. Shredded or a slice, you know?
It's a level one if it's Gouda,
Dan. It is. It's like the cream cheese on the bagel.
That's right. Watch it. But, you know, you got to wonder if somebody did delete messages, is the NCAA going to treat that as an assumption of guilt sort of thing, mm-hmm, right? And mm-hmm, and levy pretty heavy penalties like we did see with the Harbaugh situation when he allegedly lied to investigators and then, you know, was charged with that and then was suspended ultimately 3 games for that one, right? And then another 3 by the Big Ten. So we've seen the cover up being worse than the crime. So
yeah. I do think it's good for Jim Harbaugh and for Michigan that Jim Harbaugh's in the NFL now.
I would think so.
Yeah.
In this case.
That would be probably helpful. But you know, I'm sure he's gonna get a non-cooperative. So on the positive side for Michigan, if this report is accurate, all they've got is one guy deleting text messages. So that's better than, oh, yeah, there was a spreadsheet getting sent around to 50 people.
Yeah. Right?
So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to make of it. Look, at all anyone wants, I think almost everyone's like, yeah, Michigan did it. What's the penalty?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, right. And this other stuff, this is what happens when the NCAA gets in. And it used to be worse. But all of a sudden you find out someone gave a ride to student athletes. Like, another staffer is expected to be hit with violations related to dinner and a ride.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
come on now.
I mean, that's, again, about to start paying players directly in like 12 months.
It's 2024, man. Like, I don't know. Like, hey, let me drop you off at the dorm. Right. It's 6 degrees out.
But as they say, Dan, the rule was the rule then.
The rule's the rule.
Gotta follow it.
The rule's the rule. Rules are rules.
You know? There you go.
I have no idea what the, like, let's say. All right, so what, as we go forward, because we don't know whether it's going to drop at any moment. We have no idea. But going forward, what is a penalty that what is the most expected penalty here? Okay, so they can, I think there will be a significant fine of the school, right? The NCAA seems to like to fine. Yeah. They're into fining people now.
Yeah, look at the Tennessee case with that.
Right.
Right, $9 million, I think, or $10 million.
$9 million.
Yeah, you know, it'll probably be something similar.
It's going to be a big fine. Michigan write the check, and on they'll go. Okay, that. There are potential recruiting sanctions. I feel those have very limited impact in this era because A, scholarship limits don't really matter. It's not, you can't crush a program because you can get around how many guys are on scholarship and how many guys right now are just getting an NIL walk-on. I don't think it matters as much how many people you can bring on campus for visits. It's like recruiting has changed and the penalty structure of the NCAA is 10 years old, is dealing with what occurred 10 years ago, not what's occurring now. And then finally, there is the postseason ban. Well, there's the vacating of the national championship. That I always find stupid, but I would imagine would mean a great deal to a Michigan fan. You don't want your title stripped, right? That hurts. Then everybody else gets to go, you didn't really win it. Then there would be a future postseason ban. Do you say Michigan can't go to the playoffs in whatever year this is all resolved? It will not be resolved in the 2024 season. Do not expect this to be. Michigan has a chance. Well, even if they came out with that, and that's inevitably, this will be resolved long after that. And Michigan will drag its feet on this as long as. So don't expect that. But that would be a significant penalty to me, the most significant one. What along those lines would you expect is the possibility, Pat? And although one more thing, how should Harbaugh's 3-game suspension already factor in as a penalty? He was suspended for this incident. It's by the Big Ten, not the NCAA, but it's sort of like if you get serve time in a state court for something, could the feds that like is a there's an element it of fairness.
Should be considered.
Here. It should be.
You think it should be considered, right? I mean, it was three
huge games,
pretty important games to finish the season.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the main areas where the penalties could be applied. I would expect a fine, and I would expect that. I believe with the Tennessee case, it was $8 million or something, and it was like the equivalent of financially of a 2-year bowl ban, right? So like $4 million of bowl revenue for each of 2 years. Look, we're pretty sure. The Committee on Infractions wanted to get Michigan pretty hard on this. Certainly they wanted to get Harbaugh, right? Because you remember back when they turned down a plea, a negotiated resolution.
That was the other case, though.
Yeah, the cheeseburger.
Yes. Oh, there was. You're right. Yeah. Yes, it was. It was. Okay.
Look, we need an abacus to figure out or something like that. Like,
I know.
That was the cheeseburger. They wanted 6 games. Michigan gave them 3, and they're still angry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but repeat violator status, which is something that can aggravate penalties. So you wanted to get Harbaugh, you wanted to get Michigan, whatever. Harbaugh's already been penalized. Harbaugh's already left. But repeat violator status for the same program can raise penalty stakes. Now, how much? I don't know. And would you actually take someone out of a postseason anymore? I don't know. Dan, to your point in terms of timetable, I would agree that this is not going to get resolved this season unless they arrive at an agreement on a penalty. And the only way I can see them doing that is if the penalty is pretty much to Michigan's liking. Like if they come in and say, we're postseason banning you, Michigan's not going to say, okay. You know, they're going to fight that tooth and nail and drag that out as long as possible. And then we're going to decide this in February or something like that at the earliest. If they come back and say, we're going to fine you $4 million and you can't ever hire Connor Stallions again, and shame on Jim Harbaugh, they might say, cool, let's just wrap this thing in October. So, you know, there's a couple avenues there, but I would anticipate it's going to take longer. And I would anticipate the NCAA, whether it's money or whether it's postseason, to try to get something significant on this, because I think they feel like Michigan played them for chumps to a degree.
Yeah, this one doesn't feel like one of the negotiated resolution ones. This feels like a similar situation to the Tennessee case, where they fought and fought and they had a hearing, and the NCAA proposed to Tennessee, I think, you know, a year or two of postseason ban, and they fought and fought it, and they got a fine instead. And the NCAA is supposed to be more so fining instead of doing the postseason ban. That's what they've kind of evolved into, because they don't want to penalize current student athletes who maybe didn't have a role in whatever is at the center of the investigation. They're supposed to lean more of the fines instead of the postseason bans. But you saw, again, maybe it was too preliminary of reports of too much assumption going on by the reporting that there's a postseason ban or two, a year of postseason ban or two that could happen. And that is probably, again, a link to level one penalties being in the NOA. But again, you know, Tennessee got out of that, and I'm guessing Michigan's going to fight hard to try to get out of that too, and instead incur a penalty instead of postseason ban.
So the NCAA has said that it wants to get away from the postseason bans because, as Ross said, you don't want to punish. Two angles on that for this case. One is, if this is the details that we have, Connor Stallions would have acted in a manner that not only would future Michigan Wolverines, or current or future Michigan Wolverines, not have any. I mean, the roster turns over about a third every season. So literally a third of the team wasn't even there. No one is alleging that, like, Connor Stallions was working with the players, right? This would totally be, did the coaches know? So, like, it's not like, because a lot of these are like, well, you paid for this recruit and that guy benefited financially, right? That's sort of the bit. And then you say, well, I don't want to punish these guys because they didn't even know that kid. It was 2 years ago, something like that. There's no indication that any player knew anything. Now, they might have benefited from it, but it would be hard for me to say we should punish players, let alone future players, on this for a postseason ban based on the past comments by the NCAA that they want to get away with that. So, like, this is not a player or recruit-driven case, which it normally is, because these are normally about money. Other than this drive and this meal that some staffer bought some of the kids and something else. But so does that give Michigan some leeway on getting out of a postseason ban or not? I just really feel like that's it. I think Michigan fan would take anything other than postseason ban and vacated title. The fines are a good idea, but, like, this is the University of Michigan. They're going to write the check and not blink. It's a parking ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's it. Even if it's, you know, 4 million to 10 million, I don't think Michigan's going to sit there and say, oh no, we're devastated by this at all. So from that standpoint, yeah, I think that they would take that. And again, that's why if that's what the NCAA perhaps comes to them with, I think they try to wrap this thing relatively quickly and say, yes, we'll pay the fine. Let's move on.
All right. Let me bring this up, because this was to me one of the lowest moments in the covering of when I covered in my coverage of college athletics. And this was 2011, after the quote unquote tattoo gate at Ohio State, right? And Jim Tressel had gotten emails and been told, hey, look, the players are trading their jerseys and getting extra benefits. And some of it was at a tattoo parlor. They're selling their stuff. Had a lot to do with quarterback Terrell Pryor, different stuff. All right. So that was against the rules. Tressel was made aware and did nothing about it, right? Did not turn over the information like he was obligated under NCAA rules and his contract. Again, I have been a harsh critic of the rules, but as Ross said, the rules are the rules. These are your rules, right? So he loses his job at Ohio State. and he gets a 6-game ban from the NCAA as part of this negotiated penalty, this whatever penalty they came up with. He had to sit out 6 games if he ever coached again. So he got a job in 2011 with the Indianapolis Colts, and he was the replay consultant on game day. This was his job with the Colts. He sat in the press box, watched the game on TV, and when there was, you know, close play out of bounds, he's just one of them, watched the replay as fast as possible and then radio down, throw the challenge flag, right? This is a low-level job.
I'm about to say, could you imagine that? That's quite a fall-off.
Overqualified.
Yeah.
Overqualified for the position.
Do you have to wear the vest and the tie to do that job? Probably,
I hope he did, because he always looked dapper in that.
He probably did.
Always look, on some blue, Colts blue on a sweater vest. That's a good look. Colts blue is that's a nice color.
That would be good.
So Tress is basically trying to stay busy, right? And the NFL, the Colts ended up saying, we will honor the NCAA suspension in the NFL. And they made him sit for 6 games. And Roger Goodell said he would have suspended Tressel, written an AP story from 2011, if the Colts didn't make him sit it out. I support that decision. I think it's a wise one, Goodell said. I think it's clear if they didn't take appropriate action, I would have taken appropriate action. I found that to be one of the most outrageously ridiculous decisions ever. Like, we now have NCAA rules like casting across the land. Like, who?
That wouldn't happen today, I feel like. Right.
If they sit there and say, Harbaugh, 6-game suspension, are the Chargers going to sit head coach Jim Harbaugh? I mean, this happened in 2011. Not a chance, right?
Yeah.
Not a chance.
No way. No. This first kind of bubbled up when this was going on and Harbaugh was interviewing for jobs. And I think it was our friend Ian Rappaport that kind of mentioned this possibility.
Yeah.
But this is a head coach we're talking about.
Yeah,
this is a head coach we're talking about. And times have changed. I don't see there's any way the NFL steps in and sits down Jim Harbaugh.
Terrell Pryor got suspended for 5 games and had to sit those out.
Yes,
in the NFL.
Yes, he did.
NCAA rules.
Yeah.
That is really how powerful the NCAA's narrative was just 13 years ago. That is the grip that the NCAA and amateurism had on this country 13 years ago. That is absolutely ridiculous. The Oakland Raiders are not in the NCAA. They take Terrell Pryor in a supplemental draft because he basically has to go, and they go, well, we don't want him being rewarded by coming to our – like, forget that. It is amazing how the NCAA has fallen rightfully in that bit. Free Jim Tressel. I mean, Pryor missed 5 game checks. That's not – I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, that's – yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty big fine. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Harbaugh – there is no way now. But isn't that amazing?
Yeah. No, I had forgot all that actually happened. But, I mean, that ain't happening in 2024 or 2025, whenever this actually gets resolved. No way.
Yeah. Yeah, look at this.
All right.
Jim Irsay, Coach Jim Caldwell, Polian, the GM, and Tressel discussed the situation and consulted. I mean, that's just crazy. Bill Polian. Yeah, that's a bad decision. Anyway, I think Harbaugh's going to be like, what? I can't wait for that press conference. Who? What? I think he was, what did they say, distracted or something in his answers? Or I don't know, however they played. Yeah.
Yeah.
See a great press conference at this. Anyway, that's it. Content Stallions strikes again.
I thought of my two other points on this. Yeah. I wrote them down because I am so brain dead. I had to get them back into me. So the one thing, the vacated title possibility, and the irony there would be that Michigan fans enjoyed it when Louisville's basketball title was vacated from the 2013 national championship game because Louisville beat Michigan. And so they took great pleasure in that, but I would imagine the feeling might not be the same if they get their title vacated. Then it doesn't matter. Doesn't count. We won it on the field. So I think there could be a bit of a difference in viewpoint for Wolverine Nation if it comes to that. The other thing, I do remember, I think, some people bashing the NCAA for leaking information. This came from the Wolverine, is that right? We're thinking, yeah, who might have leaked this one? Which side of the equation might have leaked this one?
Yeah, because the NCAA, I'm sure, is running to leak stuff to the Wolverine.com.
The Wolverine.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, let's just applaud reporters who get scoops. Let's not.
There you go. Okay.
There's a lot of leaky ships in college athletics.
There are
a lot of leaky.
What kind of soups? Scoops. Kind of scoops.
Kind of scoops.
A draft of the NOA might or may not come this week. may be a postseason penalty. Maybe not. I mean, you know. Yeah. We'll wait till the NOA arrives. See how much level ones there are, and then everybody can draw their own conclusions.
Listen, we got some content out of it. We got some content out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
We did. Thank you, Content Stallion. Still giving nearly. Oh. Is there some Central Michigan news on this?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So, yes, was Connor Stallions on the sideline at Central Michigan? And was he wearing spy sunglasses? One of the greater parts of this.
Mm-hmm. This is my favorite
really
part of this.
It was the funniest part.
It really
I said
it was.
It made no sense because if he was going to scout, he'd be better just sitting in the stands with his own cell phone. Yeah. I'm still confused on this whole thing. But anyway.
And Central Michigan made a little personnel change, right? Right before fall camp.
Yes. So it elevated John Leister from his role as director of football to assistant quarterback coach. And then they did made a couple moves in it. But Jake Costner, who's been serving as CMU's quarterback coach, is not expected to remain with the Chips. He used to be at Michigan. Does that have some kind of thing to do with Connor Stallions? I don't know.
Jake might have been one of the authors of the Michigan Manifesto. So there might very well be a connection between Connor Stallions and Jake.
Writing Connor's Manifesto? I don't know. I don't know that Connor lets anybody write that thing.
That was a multi-author document.
Really? All right.
That was multi. Yeah. 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 There was multiple authors on that. And Jake was very good friends with Connor. Probably may still be.
Might be. Might not. Plot thickens. What was happening in East Lansing that night? That was when this story took the truly to the absurd and just became fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Michigan might not be the only school getting an NOA at some point, right?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you just get on a sideline?
Well, remember that there was a lot of discussion about that regarding the how do you know who's on your sideline, who's in charge of that, et cetera, et cetera. And I talked to a lot of people who are like, hell, we know everyone who's on the sideline because we're all paranoid as hell. But then other people are like, it's crazy down there. Nobody knows what's going on. So Jake Costner.
All right. We'll find out. We'll find out. We ain't done yet. We'll have a big month of Connor. He's got it all coming. All right. We'll be back right after this message. This was left over from ACC Media Days, but I did really like it. And that was Mac Brown, North Carolina coach Mac Brown. We love Coach Mac. And he's getting up there at 71, I believe.
I think so. With Saban out, 73rd. Is he now that
he's going to turn 73?
I think he's older.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Doesn't look a day over 71.
Oldest coach in the game with Nick out now, right? Yep. I believe so.
Oldest coach. And he said at ACC Media Day, every coach recruiting gets it says, I'm going to quit. And six of them have been fired since they said that. So they ought to be worried about themselves. I like it. Don't make a salty old man. Bit.
he's got receipts. Mac has receipts.
Yes, he
particularly
does.
Went after Elko, Mike Elko, that Elko was telling recruits when he was at Duke that he would be there longer than Mac Brown. And then Elko took the A&M job, and Mac said he called him up and said, see, you were wrong. You quit. And,
wow.
And Elko goes, I didn't know I was going to take the job. Ross, your thoughts on Salty Mac?
Yeah, Salty Mac. Mac is he's like when these coaches get a little older in life and or in you know, they're on their last run, so to speak. And the commissioners and ADs, the same thing. They just kind of like fly off the exit ramp throwing out grenades, right? And that's what it feels like Mac has been doing now for a couple of years. And yes, everybody has kind of presumed, I think, each of the last two or three seasons that this was Mac's last. And he just... he keeps on coming back. He can't quit it. And I was sitting with him about a year and a half ago or so, and we talked about this exact subject. And it was pretty clear that he doesn't want to do anything else in life. He did TV for 4 or 5 years while he was out and while he liked it. And, you know, he's a pretty affable guy. I think he was pretty good at it. He just missed the team. He missed being part of a team and leading a team. And you know, that's what he wants to do. And he acted to me like he would do it until it gets bad. It gets so bad or something that he can't any longer, whether it's his health or on the field. So I would foresee him continuing to plug on, but it is fun when these coaches and administrators get to the, you know, mid late 60s, certainly into the 70s, and they just start firing from the hip, man. They don't care.
Yeah, no, Mac. Yeah, see, like Jim Boeheim. When you get to that age, the no F's are given age, and I think we're there with Mac, who can be all things. I mean, he's charming and he can be very diplomatic, but I think we're getting to see a little more salty Mac as well. And it's funny when he got fired at Texas, I mean, a lot of people thought, oh, well, you know, it'll just be great in TV. And he was good, I think, on TV, but he still wanted to coach. And I remember there was some talk he might try to get like a service academy job because it'd just be more football and a little less of other stuff. And so he's pretty happy doing what he's doing, I think. Good for Mac.
Well, 9 games and 8 games, obviously at Drake May. I mean, I don't know what the expectations of the Carolina program are, a little probably better than that, but it's not like he's, you know, doing terrible or anything. And yeah, I love it. Great guy. But of course he's salty and competitive. You don't last that long in that business.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, forget it. Interesting. Ross going to get excited. Recruiting. Out in Alice State of Alabama. And look, Auburn, big weekend. Also, at some point, apparently, I did not hear it, but reportedly, during the USA Gymnastics team's gold medal performance on
War Damn Eagle
Tuesday, someone yelled "War Damn Eagle" at Suni Lee. She gave a big fist bump.
Mm-hmm. I did see that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes, the SEC in Paris.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, War Eagle.
Very natural fit there.
Threw a War Eagle at Suni. She responded. Obviously, she attended there for a couple of years as part of the gymnastics program. They had their big cat weekend. They landed three. What? That's what it's called. Big cat.
I mean,
they got cats, man. Coach Hugh Freeze. Three top 100 or something, 125 recruits. I don't know. Guys they like, all in-state. They also flipped for the class of 25. A couple guys from Alabama from the Alabama class. So yep. Adam Gorney at Rivals had a really good column on this, or part of his takes kind of questions, this little quick hit column about how fun it is to see recruiting in Alabama kind of back. It's not the mismatch of the Nick Saban versus Brian Harsin era where the tide just kind of hoovered up everybody they wanted in the state. It's an Auburn Alabama battle, man. Iron Bowl goes 365, Ross, even over here in Paris. So Pat, what do you think? Because Ross is probably upset that we're talking recruiting.
Hey, viva la Big Cat Weekend. That's
sounds fun.
I will say, look, when they hired Freeze, I think the absolute assumption was that he's going to recruit. He will win recruiting battles. That's who he's always been. Perhaps some of the ways he's won recruiting battles before, the recruiting landscape has changed, so he can win them different ways now, but he's a great recruiter. And so I think that was the expectation. And Yeah, Kalen DeBoer may well be an excellent recruiter, but he hadn't shown he can recruit like Nick. And so this is opportunity for Auburn here and now to start trying to take advantage and regain some of the state there and the Florida Panhandle and Western Georgia and all that area. And I think Hugh's got a good chance to get things going.
Yeah, you know, I think we've discussed before the NIL situation at Auburn. You know, it didn't start real well. Brian Harsin was obviously the coach then, and just wasn't running on all cylinders, the NIL program. And in fact, I believe the first collective closed down at Auburn, and then they've restarted since, obviously. And I think they're more of a well-oiled machine now, it sounds like. And I would expect that to continue there. They have a lot of, as we all know, maybe more than just any other school in the country, they have passionate and involved money people. And those money people are, I think, giving their money for the roster, as you'd expect them to do.
War Eagle. Gotta hit up Stoonie. She's probably got some dough. I don't think she's
sure. But I was surprised that it took Auburn's collective that long, given the fact that, yes, they kind of already had a ready-made collective.
Yeah. Oh, they were. Mm-hmm. Wait, we're going to.
They've been collecting for a while.
Allegedly, other than the like 14 actual cases. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird. I thought
it's a special place.
Cam Newton just really loved the Plains. He likes a good flat.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I know. Mm-hmm. All I know. All right. We'll be back after this message. All right. Interesting list on ESPN.com. Bill Conley, their excellent ESPN staff writer, he tried to rank the top 25 college football players of this century.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And I don't think either of you have checked the list, so I'm going to give you a chance to try to guess them.
Oh, God.
Top Ross, you really? Are excited about it. This is when Ross leaves. Ross is going to be like, I got to make a phone call.
Yeah.
This is a good topic.
I got to take a phone call about the settlement, Dan.
Yeah.
The latest litigation.
Ted Cruz is on the phone. I got to talk. I know how it works. Yeah, go ahead. Talk to him. You can remember good players.
No, I can't.
We'll start with Pat. Who do you think is number one? Stay your guy. So this is the best player. He sets it up this way. There's 26 consensus All-Americans per season. 24 different players have won the Heisman since 2000. And he kind of goes, he uses that as a barometer a lot. Multiple All-Americans and Heismans are a big deal to Bill Conley here. And he tries to just go through it. So no cheating, Ross. I just hear you type something into your computer.
I'm texting Ted Cruz.
Okay. Ask Ted what he thinks. Pat, who's number one? And if I'll tell you what he actually gets, what he actually is if you don't
get
it. No cheating.
Well,
we talked a lot of cheating. Do not Connor Stallions this.
Yeah.
He starts listing them off cheating in order. He's just because he's a
–
go to the Naval Academy, buddy.
I was Googling to see if one player I'm thinking of played
in the
2000s, but he didn't. He played in the 90s.
So. I'm going with Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow is not the answer, but Tim Tebow did come in at number six.
Okay.
Tebow is off the list. Ross?
Johnny Manziel.
No, he is not number one, and I don't even know if he's on the list.
Oh, come on.
Hold on. I got
really?
He's way down. Way down.
Oh.
John, I don't see. Come on. Johnny Manziel.
Johnny only played 2 years.
Well, that's true.
He redshirted,
wait till you get to the other.
He's not even on the list of how long? How much is the list?
25 guys. Not on the
25.
List. Pat, back to you.
Jesus.
Boy, oh boy. I'm going to have to. Whew. Trevor Lawrence?
You guys are already like sucking. Trevor Lawrence.
I knew I would be bad at this.
Let me see. I should have prepared.
Trevor Lawrence.
I did not believe Trevor Lawrence is on this list. No.
Okay.
I'm going to say another quarterback.
Go ahead.
Joe Burrow
is on the list.
Hey!
Number nine, Burrow.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, very good.
That's pretty good. Anyone else? To start, this is not going well, by the way. Good segment, by the way.
Anyone ever heard of Vince Young?
Let's say Vince Young, number four.
Okay. Number four. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Reggie Bush. Anyone ever heard of Reggie Bush? That'd be pretty good. Number seven. Okay.
How about the guy you mentioned earlier, Cam Newton?
Cam Newton. I wasn't going to give you that. Cam Newton's number three.
Okay.
We haven't named an Alabama player yet. There's got to be who are we going with from Alabama?
You know, this is interesting because I noticed this on my first pass through. Not a lot of Alabama.
No D Henry.
Hold on. I think those guys.
Devonta
Smith is 19th. He's the first Bama player.
Wow.
Will Anderson Jr. is also on the list.
Really?
2021, 22 Bronco Nagurski Trophy.
Oh.
Bernard Nick. And that's it from Alabama.
There's probably some early 2000s guys that I just. I mean, look,
Ed Reed
not,
is on
not
the.
Coming to me here. Yeah.
You can put Ed Reed number one on every list of football. And
how about Adrian Peterson? Probably him, too. He's got to be on there. Early 2000s, huh?
Got to be.
I think he was late 90s.
No, he wasn't. Oh. No. 2004, 5, 6. 2004, 5, 6 for Adrian Peterson.
All right. Why don't I just count backwards since this is
sure.
Okay.
Sure, go ahead.
Number 25, really well. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin. Where the hell is AD all day? Jonathan Taylor, 2018, 2019 Doak Walker winner. Two-time 2,000-yard rusher.
Okay. Looking
at the first 10 out. Man, what a list, this first 10 out. Michael Crabtree, Dwight Freeney, Robert Galley, Robert Griffin III, Calvin Johnson, Derek Johnson, Luke Kuechly, Trevor Lawrence, Marcus Mariota, and Christian McCaffrey are the last 10 out. All right, number 24, Julius Peppers, North Carolina.
Okay. Yes, he's early 2000s.
23, Honey Badger.
Good one.
Will Anderson, Alabama, aforementioned. 21, Justin Blackmon.
Really? Wow. Oklahoma State wide receiver.
2010 and 2011 Biletnikoff Award winner. Maybe the trophies are taking up too much. Number 12.
I'm not loving the reliance on winning position trophies.
20, anyway, Lamar Jackson. I think that's.
Yeah, of course.
Devonta Smith at 19. Number 18, Kyler Murray. Okay, pretty good. Number 17, Roy Williams, the safety from Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Number 60.
That famous play in the Red River game where he, like, flew over the line of scrimmage and safetied Chris
Sims.
Absolute
beast. Yeah. He was absolute beast. Yeah. He beat Ed Reed out to win the Nagurski in 2001.
I might dispute that.
I mean, Ed is just, that's another level.
And I liked Roy Williams, but come on.
Ed Reed with the Baltimore Ravens was one of the most impossible to take care of. I cover a bunch of their games with the Ravens, and I could not take my, that whole defense was fantastic. But that guy, man. 16, here's your Clemson QB, Deshaun Watson. Fifth.
But no Trevor?
No Trevor, but Deshaun.
Massages.
Okay.
15. David Pollack of Georgia.
What?
Interesting.
Three-time first-team All-American.
We leaving off Adrian Peterson. We put on.
This is a college. This is college. They note he didn't have injury plagues. Three-time first-team All-American. I mean.
I
get it.
Think about how many good Georgia defensive players there have been, especially recently.
David Pollack. Mm.
I would hope maybe there's some others on this list if he's on it. I mean, nothing against David Pollack.
I don't think anyone's going to dispute this one. 14, Aaron Donald, Pittsburgh.
Good one.
Yeah.
13, Khalil Mack. Maction, baby. Buffalo.
Oh, my God.
Khalil Mack, 13.
That's an avant-garde choice there.
All-American, Jack Lambert Trophy winner, three-time first-team All-Mac.
Okay. Yeah, I bet he was.
Number 12, Joe Thomas, offensive lineman from Wisconsin. So mm-hmm. far we got two Wisconsins, mm-hmm. no Ohio State, no Michigan, no Penn State.
I'm finding this list a little sus.
Number 11, Terrell Suggs, Arizona State. Speaking of those Ravens.
Yep.
He was good. He was good. Number 10, Larry Fitzgerald at Pittsburgh. That was unfair.
Okay. Yeah.
That was not. Yeah. That
yeah.
was not.
Yeah.
Real. Yeah. Wide receiver.
I figured he would be on there.
9 is Burrow, Ohio State / LSU. Number 8, Bryant McKinney from Miami. That was just.
Yeah.
Listen to this list he's got on the mid-2000s Miami. Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Reggie Wayne, Santana Moss, Najee Davenport, Jeremy Shockey, Andre Johnson, James Jackson, Kellen Winslow, too.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And they had the most devastating line. Yeah, McKinney. All right, number 7 is Reggie Bush. Number 6 is Tim Tebow. Number 5 was Ed Reed. Number 4 was Vince Young. Number 3 was Cam Newton. Okay, so we're just going to pick the top two. There are two left. Each guy gets one guess. Final Jeopardy. Showcase Showdown.
Wow.
You said Lamar Jackson already, right?
Yeah. One you're going to agree, one you're not.
Okay.
All right, I'll just do it because it's a horrible podcast.
No, wait. I want to guess.
Wait,
I want to guess.
Hold on, Dan.
First, you spring this topic on us, then you berate us for not, you know, coming up with Reggie Bush.
I got to go write about Simone Biles. Let's hustle.
Yeah.
It's not Simone. She was going to go to UCLA, but didn't.
You said Reggie.
Yep, Reggie's off the board. Go ahead. You can make a couple picks. Just start burning out some names.
You said Vince, right? What was Vince?
I can't remember now, but don't make me look again.
Certainly your favorite, the law firm, is not
law firm is not there. Stetson Bennett was number one.
Okay.
No, the law firm is not.
I give up.
No, oh my gosh, I can't. Oh, my brain is absolutely not working. We're a little sleep
number
deprived.
Number two,
here in
quarterback
Paris.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh my goodness! Wow, look at there.
Heisman Trophy, Maxwell Award, Walter Camp. Was he really better than Burrow? I guess over 3 years.
I mean, yeah, it's difference in
average
longevity.
4,100 passing yards per season.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was very good, but he was also an accumulator because he played 3 years or four or whatever.
Number one, Ndamukong Suh, defensive tackle, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. What?
I mean, come on now. He was.
What?
I mean, yeah, I had a problem with two rather than one. More so two than one.
Two, I don't think Baker Mayfield's.
I mean, come on, Pat, Sue.
Lombardi,
I mean,
Outland, Bronco Nagurski, AP College Player of the Year, 2009 Heisman Finals, 49 and a half career tackles for a loss, 24 career sacks, 4 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns.
I would have put Chase Young probably ahead of him.
Remember that game where they played pass in that Big 12 title game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game.
Ndamukong Suh was.
He was great. He should be on the list, but
number one.
I don't think there's enough accounting for team accomplishments in this. Is there?
I don't know, man.
Like Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, the people winning championships. What are we doing here?
Take it up with Ndamukong. You tell Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah,
I dare you.
Good luck with that.
I dare you. I interviewed him a couple times in the NFL, and I was scared to be like, to be very careful with your question. Mr. Suh, sir. I noticed you stomped on the opposing quarterback and are pacing up. Clearly somebody Brett Favre or no is it Rodgers put his body underneath your foot. Totally unfair, but could you comment on that? All right, finally, People's Court. Here we have a People's Court, and it's a big one. We have a ruling from the Ohio Supreme Court. The Ohio Supreme Court has ruled, you know, we've been debating this for a long time, is a boneless chicken wing a chicken wing or is it a chicken nugget? Okay. Yeah. We even had Jack Swarbrick, an actual lawyer from Stanford and the Notre Dame athletic director weigh in on this. And he took up the fact that it shouldn't be Buffalo. It was not, Buffaloes don't have wings, which was interesting. Outside, I remember that ruling. Right. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, right.
Actually came to the Ohio Supreme Court. Clearly, there's not anything going on in Ohio.
Yeah.
The issue was Michael Berkheimer was dining with his wife and friends at a wing joint in Hamilton, Ohio, and he ordered the usual boneless wings with Parmesan garlic sauce. This is from the AP. When he felt a bite-sized piece of meat go down the wrong way. 3 days later, feverish and unable to keep food down, he went to the emergency room where a doctor discovered a long, thin bone that had torn his esophagus and caused an infection.
Ooh.
He sued the restaurant, Wings on Brookwood, saying the restaurant failed to warn him that so-called boneless wings, which of course are, of course, nuggets of boneless, skinless breast meat, could contain bones. Okay? So the Supreme Court...
Yeah.
The question was,
does the boneless chicken wing have a bone?
I won't reveal you guys each rule. The question was, should consumers expect that a boneless chicken wing be actually free of bones? Justice 40.
Well, first of all, yeah, I like boneless chicken wings aren't chicken wings, so that's my first issue here. You know, the pressed chicken meat or whatever the hell this is should not be qualified as a wing, and you can't even really call it a boneless chicken wing because it's not a wing. You said it was like breast meat, right? So no, that's
it's
all
a nugget.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's
yes,
like a,
it is.
Yeah,
it's a like nugget. It's a nugget. So that's the problem there. And but given that fact, yes, you can absolutely expect your boneless chicken nugget to not have bones. I side with the poor man who tore his esophagus here.
Complete poor guy. Completely agree with Justice 40, including the fact that wings shouldn't be called wings if they don't have a bone, if they're not wings. That's a nugget. Yeah, it's just like when you go to Chick-fil-A, they don't sell you wings grilled in fried wings. They sell you grilled and fried, you know, Chick-fil-A nuggets.
And like those, the baked, like they have the baked little chicken. You ever seen those little like chicken, like literally it's a nugget. Like you just pop those in.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't be like expecting a bone. I agree.
No,
for sure.
It says boneless chicken wing. That's the problem is it's not the wing actually disqualifies the language.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a wing.
I agree.
Therefore, you can't also assume that one of the other of the three words here, can you assume it's chicken? I don't know. Let me tell you what. Ohio Supreme Court disagrees with us. 4-3 ruling. The Supreme Court said Thursday that a boneless wings refers to cooking style. And that Berkheimer should have been on guard against bones. Since it's common knowledge that chickens have bones.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. Gosh. It's common knowledge. A diner... This is a quote from Justice Joseph T. Dieters, writing for the majority. A diner reading boneless wings on a menu would no more believe that the restaurant was warranting the absence of bones in the items than believe that the items were made from chicken wings. Just as a person eating chicken fingers would know that he had not been served fingers. This is now the law in Ohio.
They're spending their time on the important matters.
Careful, Buckeyes.
I'm not going to go to a chicken place in Ohio. I'm not doing it.
Look out.
Don't trust. They're built on a throne of lies.
First Connor Stallions comes along, and now this, they're having a tough run over in Ohio. The dissenting justice is called Dieter's reasoning, and this, I believe, is a legal term, utter jabberwocky. I'm beginning to question the seriousness of this organization. And said a jury should have been allowed to decide this. The quote, this is Michael Donnelly, justice in the dissent. The question must be asked. Does anyone really believe that the parents in this country who feed their young children boneless wings or chicken tenders or chicken nuggets or chicken fingers expect bones to be in the chicken? Of course they don't. When they read the word boneless, they think it means without bones, as do all sensible people.
Yes.
I'm on the dissent, but there are four justices apparently are not.
Were they all bought off? I mean, this is crazy.
Big Chicken got them. A political conspiracy. These guys are like
Big Chicken.
They got big like mansions on Put-in Bay or something. Like, how do you even buy someone off in Ohio?
Good question. Cedar Point.
Yes. Season tickets to the
Fast Pass at Cedar Point all summer, courtesy of the chicken producers of Central Ohio. Could be. That would get me. There's a long lines at Cedar Point.
Four club seats at the shoe.
If I ever got, I would be so thrown off one of these courts for ethics violations so quick.
Yeah, you don't really have aspiring Supreme Court justice written on you. I gotta say,
I do rule on a lot of stuff. This is a garbage. Normally, if you guys both agree, I'll try to take the other side, but no way. It says boneless. You got to be able to just bite into that thing. This poor guy got his esophagus ripped and got an infection. All right. Clearly, it's time to end this podcast. We will be back next week with more riveting college football talk. We'll talk to you later.